Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sin is no accident. The first sin of Adam and Eve in the garden was no mistake. It wasn't just a whoopsie. It was lawlessness and outright disobedience of God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew that they were the ones responsible for their sin. When I was a child and I got into trouble, my sainted mother would ask me if there was anything else I needed to confess to her. And then she would recite a small portion of scripture to me from the book of Numbers, and she would say, "Be sure, your sin will find you out." And she said this as she stared at me, making me uncomfortable and trying to elicit more confessions of wrongdoing out of me. It seemed like a threat, and it kind of was. I mean, she was reminding me that sin does not stay hidden from God. And Adam and Eve discovered the exact same thing. Once they sinned, their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked. Their original sin of eating the forbidden fruit led to more sin. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, and when they hear God walking in the garden in the cool wind of the day, they tried to hide. Martin Luther wrote of sin and man's desire to keep it secret. He said, "It is the nature of sin that it desires to remain hidden and not be brought into the light, just as Adam covered himself with a girdle and fled to the trees." See, this is why most crime takes place at night. No one wants to be seen sinning, and sinning is a lot easier to do in secret. But is it really possible to sin in private? God knows all, and he sees all that we do, even when we think we are doing it when no other man can see. In the Old Testament reading, God does not immediately kick Adam and Eve out of the garden, but he seeks Adam out and he asks him the question, "Where are you?" Now, this does not mean that Adam and Eve were successfully hiding from God, because we know you can't do that. But God is allowing Adam an opportunity to confess and to repent of his sin. But Adam squanders the opportunity for repentance. Instead, he makes excuses about hiding and blames it on his nakedness. No sin can remain hidden from God. When God directly confronts Adam about his sin of eating of the fruit of the forbidden tree, Adam blames it on Eve, and in a way, ultimately blames God. He even says to God, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." And Eve does no better. She blames her sin on the serpent, and in a sense, on God. The human inclination to blame others for sin has not changed. Any parent can tell you that when their child is caught misbehaving or doing something wrong, the guilty child will usually blame another child or another person. The blame game has also infected our society. Perhaps you remember the Texas teenager a few years ago that killed four pedestrians with his vehicle while he was intoxicated. In his criminal defense, he blamed affluenza. He claimed that he was unable to understand the consequences of his actions because of economic privilege. In essence, he was saying, "Money made me do it." In the garden, God deals out the punishment for sin. All parties, including the serpent, now face the judgment and wrath of God. Adam and Eve brought misery and death to the entire human race with their sin. For women, bearing children in pain and enmity towards their husband is the penalty. for men, hard work, toil, and pain while providing sustenance for his family is the penalty. And most devastating of all, God imposes the death penalty on mankind for sin. We heard it last week at Ash Wednesday. It's in our reading today. God says to Adam, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And for the serpent, he will be reviled by all creatures and relegated to crawling in the dust on his belly." But this is not the final answer from God, and he will not allow the separation of man and God to remain. And though bearing children in pain is part of the divine penalty, it is also a blessing. For this is the only way that the human race can survive outside of the garden. Despite man's sin of disobedience, God's original command to be fruitful and multiply has not been withdrawn. Eve is the mother of all living. It is from the offspring or the seed of Eve that God, amid the curses he's putting upon the serpent, makes a promise. God promises that he will send the Messiah from woman's seed to crush the ancient serpent's head. God not only promises the Messiah who will save mankind, but he also demonstrates that blood sacrifice is necessary to cover sin when God provides animal skins to clothe Adam and Eve. Just as the tree of the forbidden fruit was the origin of sin, from the cross, the tree of Jesus' shame comes the fruit of eternal life. Greek Orthodox art of the cross depicts a slanted footrest. Perhaps you've seen it on the church. And the cross is depicted over the grave of Adam while our Savior's blood runs down off of that slanted footrest and onto the skull and grave of Adam. And this symbolism portrays the fact that Jesus' blood has atoned for the sin of Adam and for the whole human race and for you. Even the logo for the seminary of our synod, Concordia Theological Seminary, shows the cross of Christ firmly planted on top of a serpent. The cross of Christ is a victorious ensign over a defeated foe. It is through the cross of Christ that God restores his perfect face-to-face relationship with mankind. For within the cross of wood is the tree of life with every good. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.